pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to respond to anything we are discussing this morning? That is your opportunity. Hit us up on that text line, everybody except Ricky. Also on the program today, coming up here in about a half hour, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, is with us. So make sure you stay tuned for that as well. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on, he's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, always makes time for us, Chairman John Wall on the line. Good morning, Chairman. How are you?
Oh, good morning to you. I'm doing very well.
Thank you for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. Let's start with this. You guys at the Algop, you launched your you launched a diversity outreach initiative. Walk us through that, and why this time might be different than past efforts.
Well, you know, and I think I don't like to look at it so much as a non-successful past effort. I think when you look at throughout history, the Republican Party has actually been the party that supports minorities, and minorities have always flocked toward the Republican Party. I think it's just been the last few years that we've somehow allowed a false stereotype to come into play, and that minorities have gone more towards the Democrat Party. So I look at this more as reclaiming our birthright, if you will. The Republican Party was literally would not exist today. We came to national prominence back in the 1800s because of the fight against slavery in our country. And so I think there's a connection and a bond there that goes back to the beginning between African Americans and the Republican Party. And I see it as going back to that original bond and kind of where we've always stood, which is fighting for and supporting minority rights. You know, the Republican Party, it is the party that fights for individual liberty, for minority rights, and for religious liberty. And I think that's important that we just set the record straight on where the lines really are.
Well, what do you do there now? I know this has been tried in the past, but when you talk to African-American voters, they feel like they're taken for granted by Democrats. They always do, you know, but for whatever reason, I mean, they do. Typically, African-American communities vote Democrat. How do you change that? And I guess if you're going to start in Alabama, what do you say to maybe convince these guys to come around your way?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is addressing what you just brought up, and that is Democrats don't really care about all minorities. In fact, they don't even want people to know that conservative minorities exist. They hide them. They'll pick them under the rug. They try to keep them down because it breaks that stereotype that there are conservative minorities. And I think that's important for all minorities, for anyone to understand that the Democrat Party is using minorities. They don't really support all of them, just the ones that will do what they want. And that's not true support. And that's my first message to anyone I'm talking to is the Republican Party is looking out for your individual best interest. We want you to be free. We want you to be successful economically, personally. We want you to have your rights. And I think that's a message that appeals to everyone. If you look at just the values of the two parties, most minorities are more in line with the Republican Party than the Democrat Party. And I want to leave personality out of it. I want to leave names out of it. And I want to go to the fundamental values and explain why those fundamental values are best for the minority community, and why they already align with the Republican Party. And we just need to break this false stereotype that has been put in place by the Democrat Party and to be honest, by the mainstream media.
Yeah, the mainstream media, they really demagogue Republicans. If you don't have exposure to both sides of the equation, then I guess that's what we are to expect, the stereotype put forward by the Democratic Party and by the media, it becomes accepted. It becomes just an assumption, if you will. You got to break that assumption. Do you find that what needs to be done to kind of change hearts and minds?
Well, and I think a good starting point is with our press conference yesterday, we really highlighted our coordinator and our co-coordinator. Our coordinator is Kenneth Pascal, the first African-American Republican elected to the state legislature since Reconstruction. And that is a massive victory for conservative minorities. Having someone who represents those values, who lives that and is that representing them is just very, very exciting for all of us. And I think that's a big breaking point. And then the coach here is Belinda Thomas, who is a city councilwoman from Newton, Alabama. And she was the first African-American woman elected to the city council in Newton. Very passionate, excited about this outreach program. And I think having two leaders from within the African-American community that are elected, but such strong Republicans, no one can lead this effort like they can. And I think that's going to be something that's a little bit different than it's been done in the past, and that they can really highlight where the Republican Party is and what the Republican Party represents within the minority community.
Well, I look forward to seeing how that will develop, but we'll keep an eye out. Let's move on to something that's gotten a lot of press here lately, and I you just put out a statement here probably about 30 minutes ago or so, but you want... When the legislature meets, and maybe that's in this special session coming up next week, or maybe it's in the future session and in 2022, to take some kind of stance against the vaccine mandate that the Biden administration has enacted. What it may be or how they get there. You're encouraging Republicans, or you're encouraging, I guess, all lawmakers to act.
No, I am. You know, I think you're right. A bill will be taken up on this issue, either in the special session or in the regular session. And I know there's already been a pre-filed bill with House Bill 31, which does a lot to protect people. I think it also has some unintended consequences that may not be the best. But really, when you look at this issue, when it needs to be addressed, I think it's immediately. I think if you wait till January, you lose your best opportunity for it to be useful in a federal court case. So I'm very supportive of state lawmakers looking into this and trying to do something in the special session coming up. I think that's the time to address it. It's the time to get the right bill, a good bill. You know, I think it's very important that the bill protects individual liberty, protects the rights and the freedoms of the people of Alabama, but also protects the rights and the freedoms of our businesses. You know, they're the ones really being hurt here the most, are the business owners and the men and women who have to go in there and fire employees that they know and love and are forced to do it by the federal government. And I think this is a draconian measure by the Biden administration, and we need to stand up against it and stop it.
Yeah, and you see it. I mean, it's not just, well, that's not happening in Alabama, but it is. You know, some of these national companies with outposts in Alabama, they are adhering to it. You know, any employer with 100 employees or more, and you have a vaccine mandate. So you see it happening even here within the borders of Alabama.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the companies with more than 100 employees, that has not gone as far yet. I mean, that is coming over the next couple months. Where we're really seeing the most of the damage right now is actually with government contractors, especially around the Huntsville area with Bridgestone Arsenal, and then some down in Mobile, around Rucker Air Force Base. That's where we're seeing the hardest hit areas right now are government contractors around military installations. That will expand drastically over the next couple months once we get into the push for companies with over 100 employees. So, yes, I expect this to affect over two-thirds of the Alabama workforce at some point.
And in doing so, if the legislature acts, I mean, there's all kinds of legal questions, and this will get tied up in the courts, but the only way you get to that situation where it gets tied up in the courts is if some level at state government acts, be it Governor Ivey, be it the Attorney General, or, as in this case, the Alabama legislature.
I know that's absolutely correct. You know, you have to have something that conflicts with the federal executive order in order, you know, to be able to have standing to challenge the federal court. And I think that's why it's so important we do have something in place. And something that argues the point correctly. I really feel like this needs to come back to the argument of discrimination. Because that's what it is. The thought of forcing someone to release their private medical records. That's against our constitutional right to privacy. That's one level. And then the second level to me is the idea that government can force someone to make a medical decision or get fired from their job. That's pretty much the exact definition of discrimination. And discrimination is already not allowed with our employees. And we need to challenge it on that discrimination level because that's already been set in court precedent. That's already been ruled by the Supreme Court. We need to use the same language that has been used for other types of discrimination, slap it on there, and defend our employees' rights based on discrimination.
And then I want to get you to weigh in on this. The special session itself is to deal with reapportionment, and I wanted to at least see what what do you think ought to be a priority looking at these new lines for these lawmakers. Obviously, you want to see as many Republicans in office as possible. Are you worried that maybe you may see some Republicans have to go by the wayside when these lines are drawn?
Well, this is going to sound a little bit weird. I obviously do care about the lines based on Republican Democrat switch, but I think the important thing is that we have fair lines. And if you are trying to draw the lines fairly and represent the general population of Alabama, it's going to naturally be Republican control because our state is one of the most Republican states in the union. So I think the important thing is actually that we don't try to appease people or gerrymander lines that directly go against what the general population of Alabama represents. So I'm actually very supportive of just fair lines, draw them fairly, and take the input from the members. You know, I'm afraid that sometimes that's getting overlooked in this process is listen to the current members. They know their communities. They know where those natural lines are. They know what divides the community, where different groups of people are more likely to coalesce. Trust the members in the different areas of the state to help redraw their lines. And I think that's very important is to get draw the line fairly and with the full support and interaction with the members from all around the state.
Well, I mean, like, you look at it, Alabama is definitely shifted more Republican and more Republican over the last 10, 15, 20 years. So it shouldn't really matter where the lines are drawn. You're going to come out ahead if they're done, like you say, if they're done fairly.
I think
what some people are worried about is that there is at least a movement afoot to draw the lines in a way to preserve some kind of Democrat membership, some kind of Democrat representation for the sake of preserving Democrat representation and not necessarily reflective of the changes, the more rightward changes of the state going ahead.
Correct. And that's where I do step in and say, okay, let's not purposely draw lines to protect Democrats, just like I'm not asking to purposely draw lines to protect Republicans. Let's draw lines that represent the people of Alabama. And if we do that, that is the best thing for our citizens. And because we're such a strong Republican state, we're going to have a very strong Republican House and Senate.
Yeah, it's a matter of it's a meritocracy. You've won the war of ideas in this state. The Republicans have. The state has gone from a Democrat state, a solid blue state, to a red state. And the people here, that is the way they vote. They done that in presidential election after presidential election, midterm after midterm, gubernatorial election after gubernatorial election. And that Republicans need to do what Republicans ought to do, but it seems like there is this path of least resistance that is prevailing right now.
No, there is, and I always like to say, and this goes for any level of government, federal, state, local, I want to see Republicans fight as hard and have as much of a backbone as Democrats sometimes do. Because in a reverse role, Democrats would not give an inch. And I don't want to give an inch that they wouldn't give.
Fair enough. Chairman, real quick, folks want to find out more about the Alabama Republican Party. Tell them where to look.
They can always check us out on social media, Facebook, Alabama Republican Party. And Twitter as well. And then our website is algop.org. We always enjoy having interaction with people.
Chairman, I appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
All right. Sound good?
That was Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
To ever play the blues.